بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 24th of January in the year 2022 and Alhamdulillah we are spending a few sessions discussing the important subject of death and related matters. And the last thing I think is important to highlight again is that Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He has promised that anything on the earth, I have promised them their rizq. In Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 11 verse 6, there is none clinging to the earth, but the rizq of that is on Allah Ta'ala's bounty. So here is the strangeness of the son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's promised his rizq, but he still goes overboard, as if he's not been promised it. And yet, what he has not been promised, i.e. forgiveness, he acts like he's been promised. Astaghfirullah. So think about that. The Quran is saying that I've promised you your rizq, and we live, many of us live as if we're not promised our rizq. And nowhere in the Quran does it say you are promised forgiveness. And yet, many of us think I'm guaranteed forgiveness. So this is again the lunacy of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And like one scholar said, many of us make more preparations for our pension than our graves. That's also lunacy. Thus, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he very mildly and subtly rebuked this mentality when he said, I have heard your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the one who gathers all his griefs into one grief, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves him from all his griefs. SubhanAllah. This is in Kanzul al-Umal, volume 5, page 243. Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, volume 1, page 118. So now notice. Did you notice the mild rebuke in that statement? Or did it go over your heads? See, this is a very mild rebuke he's done. I'll say it again. I have heard your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the one who gathers all his griefs into one grief, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves him from all his griefs. So where's the mild rebuke?
Your Prophet.
Hafiz Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi said in Mirqat, this address is a rebuke to the addressees because they had disobeyed the commandment of their Prophet. So look at the Sahaba. Their anger is in the eloquence. So when, and don't forget these are tabi'in, you know, it's not like they were like completely off the rocker. But look how he's talking to them. I've heard your Prophet. Meaning, do you really believe he's the Prophet, the way you're living? And what did he say? What hadith did he quote? It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who gathers all his griefs into one grief. What was he referring to? The grief of the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves him from all his griefs. Look how beautiful the hadith. If you make the hereafter your ultimate concern, Allah ta'ala sorts out all your problems. The Prophet promised that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question, what if your hereafter is not a concern? You're in serious trouble. You're going to be really, really ill. Spiritually, physically, mentally, etc. And how do we know? Confirmation of this is found in a very famous hadith. In Tirmidhi Ibn Majah, Qanzul al-Umal, volume 8, page 202, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delivered to us a sermon in Masjid al-Khayf, i.e. in Mina. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioned him with that which he is worthy, and he thereupon said, he whose primary concern is the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite his concerns, make his wealth grow before his eyes, and the worldly pleasures will come to him in humiliation. But the one whose primary concern is this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scatter his affairs, put poverty before his eyes, and after all that, it will only come to him from the world that which was already destined for him. So this is the famous report, and I mentioned it, I think, some other time. But what's fascinating is, where did the Prophet mention this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Masjid al-Khayf. So it was during the Hajj, farewell Hajj, towards the end of his holy life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Masjid al-Khayf, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 70 prophets have prayed in Masjid al-Khayf. Amongst them was Musa, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So it's very significant he delivered this sermon there, when people were in the ihram, offering the Hajj, performing the pilgrimage. So note again, Allah Ta'ala does not break his promise. Then there's the barzakh. Subhanallah, every morning and evening of a person's life in al-barzakh, he will be shown his future abode, paradise or hell. Think about that. So if a person says, how long is my stay in the grave? Don't know, brother. 1,000 years. Until Qiyamah. But what we know for certain is that every morning and evening in the grave, you will be shown your ultimate abode. Isn't that more important to know? So, how do we know? And why does this happen? In Sahih Bukhari, number 1379, 3240, 6515, Sahih Muslim, number 2866, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا مَاتَ أُرِدَ عَلَيْهِ مَقْعَدُهُ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. Verily, when one of you dies, he is shown his future abode every morning and evening. إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَالْجَنَّةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَالنَّارِ. If he is from the people of paradise, he is shown his abode in paradise. And if he is from the people of hell, of the fire, he is shown his abode in the fire. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيُقَالُ هَذَا مَقْعَدُكَ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He is then told, this will be your ultimate abode when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you on the day of resurrection. So let's look at this. So it's recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So the Prophet certainly said these words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he say? When one of you dies, he is shown his abode every morning and evening. There's the proof. So if a person is his first night in the grave, he's shown his abode. Second night in the grave, he's shown it twice. Once in the morning, once in the evening. So when you go to the graves, do you reflect upon that? You know, these are things that we need to reflect on. Every time you visit, you know, a brother, sister, family member, friend, if it's a week later, he's been shown his abode 14 times since you last met him. Think about that. Until we join them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he is from paradise, he's shown paradise. If not, the fire. He goes, this will be your abode until Allah Ta'ala raises you on the day of resurrection. They are reminded again and again. So this is in the hadith. This reality is confirmed in the Quran. Where? Allah the Almighty says in regards to the accursed Fir'aun and his people. In Surah Al-Ghafir, Surah 40 verse 46. النار يؤردون عليها غدوا وعشيا. And the fire, they are exposed to it morning and evening. There it is. So not only does the flawless hadith in Bukhari and Muslim mention this reality, the Quran mentions it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the fire, they are exposed to it غدوا وعشيا, morning and evening. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he explained this verse when he said, the souls of the people of the Egyptian Fir'aun are placed inside some black birds, and they are then brought to hell twice every day and informed it is their last abode. This is recorded in Qurtubi in his Tadhkira with a Hassan chain of transmitters. So it was interesting. The verse is talking about the people of Fir'aun. So Allah Ta'ala says they are shown the fire morning and evening. They are exposed to it every morning and evening. What does that mean? Ibn Mas'ud said the souls of the Egyptian Fir'aun and his people, they are put into black birds. And the black birds are then brought to hell twice every day, and they are informed there, whilst their souls are in the black birds, this is your abode, every morning and evening. Indeed, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen these wretches on the night of Isra, being taken every morning and evening to be tormented by the fire. He then said, on their return, i.e. from being in the bird, the Fir'aun's people look like beaten camels, neither listening nor sensible. On their return, the Fir'aun's people look like beaten camels, neither listening nor sensible. This is in Bayhaqi, in his Dala'il al-Nubu'ah, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs. So look how interesting. Their souls are placed in a black bird. They are taken in that body of the bird to see their abode in the fire every morning and evening. But when they return, look at the impact. They look like beaten camels. The Prophet saw them. Beaten camels. Neither listening nor sensible, meaning they've lost their senses. It is further related that the Fir'aun and his people, on their going to and fro, also trampled those who consumed interest usury, who were described by our beloved as follows, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw people whose stomachs were as large as houses between their hands, and within their stomachs were snakes and scorpions which were visible from the exterior. Astaghfirullah. This is in Ibn Majah, Ahmad Asbahani, Targhib al-Udus. So, try to picture this. So, what's the first thing? The souls of the Fir'aun and the unbelievers of his time are placed in black birds every morning and evening. They are taken, they are shown the fire. They are somewhat punished by it as well. When they are returning, they look like beaten camels, meaning that they are physically in pain. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at the disgrace here. As they are going and coming back, the people of the Fir'aun, they're trampling, they're walking over those who've consumed riba. And what did the Prophet say about the people they're trampling over? I saw people whose stomachs were as large as houses between their hands, and within their stomachs were snakes and scorpions which were visible from the outside. Why? Because they can't be satisfied. Your interest is nothing but a disease. And that's their punishment. And look at the humiliation. Who's trampling over them? Fir'aun's people. Fir'aun's walking over them. You know, astaghfirullah. And all of this the Prophet saw on the night of Isra. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from all deviation and abomination. Ameen. So let me ask you a question. How long ago did Fir'aun drown? What's the rough estimate, what do you say?
4,000, 3,000 years.
Okay, let's say 3,000 years. 3,000 years, if you'd convert that into lunar days, times it by 350, let's say. So, what are you talking, about a million? Okay, let's say a million. So, he's seen his abode, hell, thus far, 2 million times. And it's ongoing. And what's shocking, his body is moving around the world. But the reality is, Allah Ta'ala has put his soul into the black bird. And he's being punished in the barzakh. So note, was it worth all the games he played? The life on earth is very short, and the life in barzakh is usually far longer. Now this is interesting. The only ones we are certain of that are exempted from the trials of the grave are the prophets and martyrs, alayhi salatu wasalam, radiyallahu ta'ala. With regards to the prophets, let's turn to them first. How do we know that they're not questioned? There's nothing happening to them in the grave. With regards to the holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they are certainly the best and most righteous of people. Allah Ta'ala chose them to carry His messages and convey them to humanity. Their high status before their Lord and with the angels thus makes the graves tribulation inapplicable to them. Especially since the trial in the grave centers around people's obedience to them. So if you were in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you're shown in the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Does it make any logical sense that Musa alayhi salam sees himself? Do you believe in him? What? It's me. So where's the proof of this? In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih al-Targhib, number 3557, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she relates that her exalted and unparalleled husband had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amma fitnatul qabr, fabi tuftanun, wa anni tus'alun. As for the trial of the grave, then with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be tested, and about me, you will be questioned. Subhanallah. So what did our beloved messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this sahih hadith in Ahmad? As for the trial of the grave, two things he mentioned about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With me, you will be tested. With me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And about me, you will be questioned. فَبِي تُفْتَنُون وَأَنِّي تُسْأَلُون. Thus, it would be illogical that our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be tested with his own blessed self. Thus clearly showing an exception, not only for him, but also an extension for all his noble fathers and brothers. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the people say, will the prophets be questioned in the graves? No. It's inapplicable. What about the martyrs? How do we know they are exempted as well? In Nasai, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jan, number 4483, Sahih al-Tarheeb, number 1380, Ahkam al-Janais, page 50. A man asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is it that all the believers are tried in their graves except a martyr? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kafa biba riqatis suyufi ala ra'asihi fitnata. The flashing of the swords over his head was a sufficient trial for him. Tabarakallah. So let's look at this. Sahih hadith in Nasai. What did the Sahaba ask? If he was wrong, the Prophet was duty bound to correct him. What was the question? Why is it all the believers are tried in their graves except a martyr? So if he made a mistake, the Prophet would have said, no, the martyrs will also be questioned. The Prophet ﷺ explained, Kafa biba riqatis suyufi ala ra'sihi fitnata. The flashing of swords over his head was a sufficient trial for him. So in modern day terminology, bullets flying over his head. He's done it, he's passed. That was his test. Nor therefore the unparalleled honor given to the matchless bravery of the blessed martyrs. SubhanAllah, think about that. So there is a way that you can be exempt. And that is to give your life on the battlefield for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. You know, if that was the only honor given to the martyrs, isn't that enough? If you're exempt from the trial of the grave, you've passed. It's not, you know, there's no point saying, well, you've got a free pass to the grave. We're going to have problems after. Right? So note all those blessed martyrs. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh, how I wish I was buried with my brothers at the base of Uhud. Why do you think he said that? In Ahmad. Because he knows the station Allah has given them. And this is somebody who's infinitely greater than them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is confirmed in a famous hadith, but sadly people don't explain it. So I'm going to mention the famous hadith, but has it been explained? Sayyidina Ubadah ibn As-Samit, Sayyidina Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'adi Qarib, and Sayyidina Qais Al-Juthami radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, three of the Sahaba, they all heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِلشَّهِيدِ عِنْدُ اللَّهِ السَّبْءُ خِصَالُ. A martyr is awarded with seven favors by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seven gifts. يُغْفَرُ لَهُ فِي أَوَّلِ دُفْعَةٍ مِنْ دَمِهِ. He is forgiven with the first gush of blood. So think about it. When you do qurbani, the first drop, all your sins forgiven. The same can be said about the martyr. First drop, all his sins get wiped out. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيُرَى مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. He is shown his position in paradise. That's the second blessing. Third, وَيُجَارُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. He is protected from the torment of the grave. Fourth, وَيَأْمَنُ الْفَزَعَ الْأَكْبَرِ. He is saved from the great fear. He is saved from the great fear, I judgment day. Five, وَيُحَلَّ حِلْيَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. He is adorned with the adornment of Iman. Six, وَيُزَوَّجُ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ. He is married to the fair women of paradise. And seven, يُشَفَّأُ فِي سَبْعِينَ إِنسَانًا مِنْ أَقَارِبِهِ. He is allowed to intercede for 70 of his family members. This is in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Mishkat and Uddis. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in his Aqam al-Janais, page 50. So now, most of us have heard this report. But there's things you need to reflect on. First of all, seven. Notice Allah Ta'ala likes that number. Why not give eight blessings to a martyr? Why seven? Seven again. He's given seven. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is, he's forgiven. First drop of blood. Which indicates he gets more for the remaining blood. So if he's splattered, let's say on the battlefield. If the first drop has forgiven all his sins, what about the other 8, 6, 7, 8 liters? What's he going to be receiving for that? Secondly, he is shown his position in paradise. Go back to the hadith, in the grave. Every morning and evening. Because he's shown. Congratulations. The third, protected from the torment of the grave. There it is. There's no accountability. Go back to the previous report. He's scot-free. Imagine. The last thing he feels is the unbite. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person is martyred, he feels as much pain as an unbite in Ahmad. So that's the last thing he feels. And imagine after that, all the way he's plain sailing for him. Just paradise, brother. All the way. You'll be seeing paradise, you'll be in paradise, you'll be enjoying paradise. The fourth, he is saved from the great fear. Now look at the wording. وَيَأْمَنُ الْفَزَعَ الْأَكْبَرُ. Akbar means greater. Saved from the greater fear. Greater than anything you can imagine. Qiyamah is that day. It's greater than anything you can imagine. He's saved from that. So think about it. What are the petrifying moments on the Day of Judgment? As soon as you come out of your grave, no fear. He doesn't feel anything. He's called by Allah Ta'ala, no fear. Bridge of Sirat, no fear. The Prophet promised it. He's saved from that. He is adorned with the adornments of Iman. وَيُحَلَّ حِلْيَةُ الْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I shall be the first to be clothed with the garments of paradise. Who else is adorned on the Day of Judgment? Martyrs. With the adornment of Iman. He's married to the Huds. That's the only thing people remember for some reason. And what's the last thing? He's allowed to intercede for 70 of his family members. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam restrict him to family members? Because this is where you should boast amongst your families. Your boss, look, I got more money than my first cousin. I got more land. That doesn't mean nothing. But if somebody goes to you, inshallah, one of our family members was martyred. Now you've got so much to talk about because he's going to take 70 with him. What have you got, brother? Well, be honest. When did that stop happening? People don't even know any martyrs now. They go, well, he died from illness. That's not the martyr. The martyr on the battlefield the Prophet is talking about. That Allah alayhi. Thus indeed, the blessed martyrs without a shadow of a doubt are blessed beyond measure. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say to finish? In Imam Malik's Muwatta, a person was being buried in Jannat al-Baqi. And one of the men said, what a bad death. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what a bad thing you said. So the Sahaba goes, I didn't mean that, Ya Rasulullah. What I meant was that this person, he's died away from home. You know, he's not a resident. You know, he's passed away here. So the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no death better than the death of a martyr. And there is no place more beloved to me to be buried than here in Jannat al-Baqi. So even before praising Al-Madinah being buried in Al-Madinah, Jannat al-Baqi, the Prophet praised the martyr. Because there is no death meaning anywhere. Doesn't matter where he is. That is the best way to leave the world. To give your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why if you look at the seerat, that's all the companions were concerned about. They wanted to get martyred. And how on earth are you going to face people who are looking forward to death? Like what did they say? What did one of the Russian military commanders say? Is how do you fight a people who see paradise at the end of your banner? Tanks come. And all, so, you know, the weak person sees a tank, he thinks, he's thinking, ticket to paradise. Here we go. Right? Because how do you fight people like that? And he was talking about, obviously, the Mujahideen. Then what about the Sahaba? What hope did the Romans have? What hope did the Persians have? They were wiped out. Right? Allah Ta'ala was with them. And this is why the Prophet told his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, soon a time will come when you'll be more numerous than the stars. So the Sahaba goes, we'll be given great honor, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, no, you'll be very weak. So the Sahaba goes, why is that? He goes, because they will have two illnesses you don't have. Look at the praise of the Sahaba. They will have two illnesses you don't have. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَقَرَّاحَةِ الْمُوتِ Love of the world and fear of death. Rasulullah told you something amazing about his students. He goes, all of my students from A to Z, none of them love the dunya. And none of them fear death. That's how great a teacher he was. So he said to them, and look what he was saying. He goes, tell me, stars, we like stars now. You know, people boast, oh yes, we are the most fastest growing religion, this, that. Yeah, but we're still, you know, the froth on the top of the sea. Because we love the dunya and we fear death. Astaghfirullah. So all I mentioned again today was reports with regards to the grave, moving now into the barzakh, and clarifying upon some of the most important things with regards to that stay in our lifetimes. And I should have mentioned that the Quran refers to the barzakh as a visit. Zurtumul maqabir. When you visit your graves. Allah Ta'ala calls the graves a visit. Right? And yet, if that's a visit, then what is it on the earth? We'll be living now. The blink of an eye, as they're saying, you know, subhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اتوب الله من الشيطان سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله